Welcome to the CEO Bros Podcast, After Hours, with Brian Balda, co-founded, grew, and sold BHT Studios. Brad Balda, CEO and co-founder of By Your Side Autism Therapy Services. Matt Croak, the consummate entertainer, jack of all trades, and serves as our host.
Good to be back.
Studio G, boys.
Studio G.
We have our red Solo cups.
That's right.
I know what you're drinking. Oh, right.
Proud promoters of Red Solo. Oh, yeah, get that. Proud Solo. Promoters of Red Solo cups.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's so weird.
The party favorites.
Oh, rest in peace, Toby Keith.
Oh, I didn't grab a Solo cup. But I did. It's funny you ask because...
This is so stupid. This really did throw me off.
I grabbed this for dinner and you were like, do you want the new 7-Up?
He said, grab me a 7-Up.
What's the new 7-Up? You said it has lemon lime.
What are you talking about, Brian? I can't see where you're...
He says, grab me a 7-Up. And I said, well, I don't think you want this one. It's got that lemon lime. It's got this new big yellow lemon lime logo. And then I go, wait, they're all lemon.
It's always had lemon lime.
But
in
that
it.
That's new, not lo- that's new. Brand new logo.
They're just
that's
a branding boys.
And that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Branding? You want branding. To go into branding?
Yeah, so it was funny that there was an example right in the fridge.
Right in the fridge about branding.
Grabbing dinner.
Pop, so. Right in your face. Bam!
Well, and recently, the big one is Cracker Barrel. Now, there's a lot I don't know, but what I do know, and you guys can help me out on this, the logo change, which people don't seem to like, but I think it goes a lot deeper than that. So that fits into branding, doesn't it? Or brand awareness.
It did get us into a debate over the weekend about Cracker Barrel, but I'm going to back off my original argument. I'm going to talk about I'd like to talk about Cracker Barrel and what they should do.
All right.
Because remember we talked about woke, you go broke, and you go, hey, they're not going woke. And I said, well, they got the whole pride porch going on. And you're like, well, that was a couple of years ago. And I said, no, it seemed like they were doing some serious rebranding that was moving away from kind of like what everybody feels about Cracker Barrel. And that's a problem for me.
Right.
And that triggered some, you seem to be angry by that.
You were angry. I've never seen my brother angry
about Cracker Barrel.
I get angry about everything lately and enjoy it.
Yeah, you're not watching the progression of anger. Don't bring up airlines.
A step back and then we could go back into, we've got a bunch of case studies we could talk about. Cracker Barrel for one and my
favorite. So we're talking branding today.
Wait, before we get started,
what I wanted to clarify.
But are we all on the same page? The new logo, yes or no? That we like, yes, good, no.
I don't like it. At all.
No matter.
Everybody's a critic, though. Like
it seems awfully bland. It doesn't seem bland.
Somebody told me that was their original logo when they first started. But
I always picture, though, whenever I hear about any logo or rebranding, whatever, the very first thing I think about, and we're going to have to put this clip up, but in the very beginning of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, when Steve Martin is sitting in that boardroom with the executive that's looking at that brand, and he goes,
"Perfect, that's perfect."
And everybody leans in, and then he goes, "We're gonna be here all day." That's what I think of when I think of rebranding and I think of new logos and all that. It's like you can never settle on something to please everybody. But
indulge me. Let me lay this foundation before we get into any case studies.
Let the man cook. Cook away.
And this probably sounds like nits and gnats, but to me, there's
nits and gnats. We're not letting that go.
Never heard
what was the other thing? Ipsy. What's the word? Brian's got his
ipsy,
own.
Ipsy.
He's got his own dictionary.
Bambi. These are real words. Yeah. I don't know if you guys look at me. Like,
let's look up ipsy pipsy or whatever you just said.
Nits and gnats. Nits and gnats. That means like minor details.
No, I know what I mean. I
call it mice nuts.
Yeah. I just say this and that.
Mice nuts.
Nits and nats. Sounds like a Mary Poppins song. Nits and gnats. Going with my hats. Walking with the cat. It's nits and gnats.
Hey. Stop with the vodka. We have to finish this podcast. But thank you.
A spoonful of Cracker Barrel makes the logos be bland.
Finally getting a season of Matt's improv.
Matt coming alive. Okay.
Right, it's about time. It's nets. Indulge. Cook away, Brian.
So, it's just an important distinction in my mind for this conversation. There's brand, which is who you are, who your company is at its core, what space you want to own in people's heads, what you want them to think about you, what their experience is with you. And then there's branding, which is how you communicate that. So how do you convey to people, this is who we are? So it's your name of your company, it's your logo, it's your taglines, it's your colors, your fonts, your spokespeople, your commercials, your ads. And the reason I think the distinction's important is a lot of companies mess with their branding. They try to change how they're messaging their brand, but their brand doesn't actually change. We still want to be these guys. We're just going to convey it differently. But then there's also some companies that change who they are. And that also necessitates changing communication. That's a much bigger change. And I do think...
Can you think of a successful rebrand? Meaning what you're doing today and you're doing something completely different tomorrow?
Well, not completely different. I think the most famous is Apple. You know, we read like, okay, they were a small niche computer company. There was Microsoft and IBM, and then there was this little Apple who was for artists and creative people. And now they're an electronics giant. They make tablets, they make cell phones, right. They do TVs, they do computers. Music, they do all that other stuff. So that was a change to the core who we are. But it didn't change the cult of Apple. It was still, you know, I always think of Apple as, you know, think different was their famous tagline. And they're the, you know, there's the standards and then there's Apple. We're cool. We're different. We're unique. To guys like me, it's like I grew up with Microsoft and DOS. I like things a certain way. I like to have my options, not everything in the Apple world. But anyway, so I do think Cracker Barrel, one of the problems they had with this whole, you know, rebranding was they started drifting into the brand itself. Like they Agreed. Were always known yes, that's as my problem. The old country store, the old country restaurant. And through doing this new rebranding, even though, you know, they viewed it as, hey, we got to keep up with the times. We got to brighten the stores, put in more comfortable furniture, spruce up the menu a little bit. It started to give the impression that they weren't what they used to be. Like, I think you said it's like
that was
Cracker Barrel becoming Denny's. It's like, okay, that's
I was more surprised on the inside of the store than the intimacy, the low lighting, the furniture of the inside of the store, what it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, trying to attract a younger audience into your pool of people or your pool of customers that you have today is cool. I get that. But to take the core of what you represent, I mean, you're an old country store. You go for a light breakfast or a light lunch. It's nostalgic. It's Southern feel. It's hospitality. And they're killing all of that, I think, personally. And that's where I think Brian and I, it's the debate started again. I went down the path of saying, you go woke, you go broke. But it wasn't necessary. I'm taking that back. They weren't going woke. I think my issue with Cracker Barrel is that they're veering away from what they always stood for, what they were, or what their brand stands for. And in an attempt to modernize, in an attempt to draw in a younger audience, they've kind of moved away from that core theme of everything they're about. So it's like, to your point, like, yeah, maybe they are Denny's now, or maybe they're some other just random restaurant.
We know that's what they're trying to do. They must have data.
Their CEO mentioned that they were targeting a younger audience to bring in, because Brian mentioned earlier is that, the demographics, I think, for Cracker Barrel.
People who grew up on Cracker Barrel are
an older population.
Well, why wouldn't the younger generation like a store like that? I guess I'm still kind of confused.
I think my personal.
Why would a younger generation go, well, give me something more sterile like every other store that I go into?
Well, yeah, that's worthy of debate in the, you know, executive boardroom or the whatever. Because who's to say that's what's going to attract people? I think this was more of, you know, my guess is this was probably a reaction to surveys. I mean, we talked about last week, client experience. We talked about McDonald's and like, why was McDonald's struggling? Well, their forks were breaking in their salads. Their straws were too small. You know,
yeah,
this was a problem. I got to believe Cracker Barrel did the same thing. Like, hey, we've been around for 80 years. Yeah. We've never changed. We're getting a little tired. Let's ask people what they don't like about us. Well, they don't like that it's dingy. They don't like that the chairs are 100 years old. They don't like that the paint is so dreary. Hey, those are easy things to fix. Let's fix them.
But the famous interview that, or not the famous, the infamous interview that the CEO had with Michael Strahan on it was Good Morning America, whatever he's the host of.
Yeah,
where, Good Morning America. Where he was saying, but if all your customers said, this is what we want, you still would do this? And she basically said, yes.
What if all the customers are coming at you hard enough about the look of the restaurant and they want to go back to the old way? Would you do it?
Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing. I'll give you another soundbite. I actually happened to be in Orlando last week with all of our managers. We bring them together and every other year. And the number one question that I got asked, Michael, was, how can I get a remodel? When can I get a remodel? How do I get on the list?
Oh, really?
So because the feedback and the buzz is so good, not only from our customers, but from our team members. They want to work in a wonderful restaurant. So we're doing everything for our guests and our team members.
Well, Julie Messino, it's wonderful to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for answering those questions for all the Cracker Barrel fans out there.
This is what all your customers want and see and what they care about. You're going to venture away from that. And the first thing she said is, well, that's what my franchisees want or my store owners want. It's like, no, your customers want X. We're talking about the customer experience. And so I have a whole nother,
put on your CEO hat on that. As CEO, should she double down there and say, I got to take this one and believe it if I don't say it? Or do you think it was time to reflect and say, well, maybe we made a mistake?
Well, I view it differently. I probably would not be a good CEO for that company.
Yeah.
Because what I would do in that scenario is, my understanding is that sales have dropped, same store sales have dropped at Cracker Barrel over the last X period of time, whatever's measured.
Yeah, company has not been doing
so. They bring in a new CEO she spent 10 years, 15 years at Starbucks, I guess. That's where she came from. Okay. So they bring her in and say, hey, our same store sales are lagging. We need to do something about it. And so this is what she did. Okay.
Right. Because they're basically telling you, do something different than we're doing today.
And I think that's why you got fired up.
Right.
When we were talking about, because you're like, this CEO.
I felt bad for her. It's like, okay.
Well, you're like, he's like, this CEO is trying to do this and this and this because her revenues, her same store sales are lagging. So she's got to do something. And I'm like, and that's when I went down the path of, I think that you're going woke, but it's not. You're not going woke. You're just veering away from who your clients are, who your customer base is. What I would do is, and they would potentially say to me, sorry, Brad, that's not what we want. But I would review all their stores and I would review the profitability of their stores. And I would say, can we close stores where it's just not hitting anymore? There's probably stores that are doing really well. There's probably stores that can be opened that would do really well in those demographics. Instead of changing who you are and what you're about, a country store, a type of meal, nostalgic Southern flair. Why would you not evaluate where your stores are, potentially close those stores? And again, I don't have all the data, but the way I would review it is like, I would look at your profit and loss of each of your stores and say, all right, which stores are suffering? If it's across the board, that's a different thing. But can we say without a doubt that all the stores were evaluated and that a certain percentage of those stores could be potentially shut down and other stores could open in areas where that demographic is more likely or probable of visiting those stores? I just don't know if that ever went there. I think they just went to an automatic rebrand.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing?
So
it's almost like going, hey, I'm going to go to McDonald's and we're going to be a chicken place now. We're not going to be burgers anymore. It's like, but I go to McDonald's for burgers, or I go to Five Guys for burgers. I don't go to Five Guys to eat pasta. And that's almost what I feel like this felt like a little bit, is like, well, we're moving away from the core of why people went to Cracker Barrel in the first place. And I'm saying, is that really the solution here? Is the solution here to just visit same store sales by store and see, can you make adjustments by stores to become more profitable that way? That's what I looked at. They may have said, yeah, thank you, but no thank you. Hey, so, good night, sir.
Well, so.
No, I don't. I have I have $2 and a Casio.
I'm going to have to say good night,
So Coke did this with New Coke. They backtracked on that very quickly when that got all that backlash.
Right.
Take it they're rolling these stores out. Do they still have time to say, we're stopping it? You could argue that
Cracker Barrel... sounds like they do, because I don't think they've implemented many of these changes at all.
It's more, they're showing stores.
What's that? Yeah, Cracker Barrel, you don't think that they've done it yet?
No.
Not for all the stores.
They're just starting to
spend. So could you argue like, hey... genius by default, we've gotten so much press, pull it back, and now let's make the announcement, we're keeping it the same. Like, can they...
That'd be a good PR move. I see, the other thing when I first brought this up to Brad was, I think there's way more companies that have gone out of business because they wouldn't adopt, change, pivot, than there are companies that have gone out of business because they did change. I mean, think about...
I agree with that.
IHOP. It used to be International House of Pancakes. And they said, we can't just be a pancake place. It's like, okay, but that's the reason people come here, is for the pancakes. Well, we're still going to sell pancakes and we're going to have all these great deals on pancakes, but we want to be a lunch and dinner place.
Yeah, but International House of Peanut Butter, I didn't like that rebrand.
Yeah, I don't even remember that company now. Look at that.
They didn't make that move, man. Actually, I think they just became IHOP.
Think about bowling alleys. You know, a lot of them didn't keep up with the times. They're gone. Movie theaters, even. The ones that didn't keep up with, like, the changing to the time.
So,
and there's always going to be people that complain about change.
Let's talk about your branding. Let's talk about your favorite donut. Let's talk about Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, well, it's not Dunkin' Donuts anymore.
I know that. But quite honestly, I mean, we've actually put them up on our, and I'm sure... Amber, at some point, if you can move... Oh, no, we don't move. No, we just know.
Yeah,
we're not moving.
Ryan will never let that go to the green.
It's on the right-hand side of our screen. Send us
100 dozen donuts, and I've never...
Let's test that. Send us 100 dozen donuts, please.
We actually have no chance of Dunkin' or Dunkin' Donuts, whatever you want to call it, as being a potential sponsor, because Brian has just blown them apart over multiple episodes. And so, again, now you have... You're not going to take the time to at least recant what you said about
Dunkin' Donuts. Because they are
That's a successful rebrand. I will give them credit that the branding, the America Runs on Dunkin', is a great idea and a great campaign.
Okay.
The actual what they are, other than a second or third place coffee shop, they're not a donut place. They're not a food place. The food's horrible. So what are they?
To our good friends friends in Boston, if they heard you say that, people in Boston, to me, they're basically
competing with Starbucks.
And, although I bet you the donuts in Boston aren't as stale. That's the problem I have.
That's right.
No, wow. Now Matt's jumping.
No. They Dunkin' focuses.
Wait, for the record, do you like Dunkin' Donuts? Yes or no?
The store or the donuts?
I'm not asking you. We know how you
feel. I'm just clarifying.
I'm asking Matt, do you like, I'm talking about the product. Dunkin' Donuts. Would you go there for a coffee and donuts?
I don't drink coffee, so that's out. I can't
stand donuts. Coffee.
I do partake in an occasional donut. I feel like I'm settling, which is fine. I loved an Amy Joy donut. I think
I asked a yes, no question. Do you like? Okay, Amber, Dunkin' Donuts, yes or no? Like them or you don't?
I like their snack and bacon and tater tots.
So you would go to
their hash browns, sorry.
But would you go to Dunkin' Donuts to get their donuts alone?
No.
But see, it's convenience for me because they're all over. So I get them because they're convenient. That's what I'm saying.
Country donuts.
Country
donuts. Right. Okay.
Or Krispy Kreme. I think that's when Dunkin' really got slapped in the face with, hey, we got to do something different. There's these new donut places. I mean, Stan's Donuts here in Chicago. They're amazing. The donuts I get at my gas station are 10 times better than Dunkin' Donuts.
Jewel. Jewel's got cheap, really good donuts.
So bring it back.
Okay.
We obviously
know. But the branding, what makes sense to me. The America Runs on Dunkin', we're a coffee place, we're convenient, we're quick, drive through. They're basically competing with
crap
Starbucks.
On product, right. A on branding.
Right.
Okay.
So to me, they compromised the brand to roll out new branding. But it might be a smart move. Who wants to be in the donut business? It's probably not very profitable.
I don't know if I'd say about that. I mean, donut places popped up all over the place. I mean, there's some serious margin in that, right? You might want to look into it.
They're like
donut franchises.
Like, aren't there any competitors?
There are a lot of competitors.
To Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah.
Well, I think that people, I mean, if you're talking solely donuts, like Brian talked about.
I can think of four Dunkins by my house. I can't think of a single other donut place other than Jewel.
But no, because every place else sells them. All the AM, PM mini markets, the 7-Elevens, the White Hens, or whatever the convenience stores are now all sell.
But let's get back to brand though. Okay. I mean, the important thing for me is we started to talk about when we were talking about this earlier. We were talking about brand and why brand is so important. I mean, I can think about from just personal experience, and for entrepreneurs that are out there. I mean, really. I mean, we said this probably 25 episodes ago. We said something about the psychology of starting a business, getting a business off the ground. Something that I don't think you can take for granted is you can't take your name or the brand, what you want to build around your business. You can't take that for granted. It's not something you flippantly come up with. Oh, I'm going to start a company. It's going to be XYZ. And then you go, you really have to think about it long-term as what message you want to convey. And it's something that was really important to me. With By Your Side, the name was important. The logo, the little red and yellow guy, was important because it symbolized a couple things. It was symbolized that there was a person standing side by side with another person. Could be a kid, could be an adult, could be anything you want it to be, but we're by your side. It was from the standpoint of there was no hair on either of those individuals, not because I'm bald, but because it could represent a kid. It could represent a boy. It could represent a girl.
I thought that was just because you couldn't draw.
Tell the story.
That was part of the problem.
Because I highly recommend going to the very first episodes of our show. Please subscribe. But for those who are brand new to our show, it was 25 episodes or so ago. Quickly tell, you created the logo that Amber, I'm sure, has already showed or will show. How did you create that logo?
Yeah, I mean, it was... At the time we were talking about starting By Your Side, it was, okay, what do we really want people to think about when they come to By Your Side? And it's like, well, first of all, what's autism? The therapy you need for autism is that families that are experiencing autism, it's a 24/7 condition. You're experiencing it every day, 7 days a week, and you need help. You need somebody to be there with you through the whole process, through the intake call, through the insurance call, the authorizations, the billing, the therapy, the clinical assessment, the caregiver education. Every part of the aspect is we are there with you by your side. And that name just resonated with me. It's like, well, we just got to be there for families and they got to know we're with them. And so what logo will represent that image or that the point that we're trying to drive home is that if we're with you side by side, by your side with you, the customer, what would be a good logo that would depict that? So it was actually very easy to draw it on the window, which I drew it on the window of a window that was fogged up. I sketched it just literally with my finger on the window and
took
then
a picture.
Took a picture of it and sent it to a good friend of mine who's a graphic designer. And then he came up with the By Your Side logo. But I knew then and there that logo depicted the imagery that would tie to kind of that view or impression that I wanted people to have of By Your Side. And I never take that for granted. I 15 years later, think about how 16 years now thinking about how important that means. It symbolizes our company. I'm very proud of it. And so what I would say to entrepreneurs and people that want to start a business out there is don't take that for granted. That's extreme.
Well, number one, don't underestimate the name of your company. Let's reiterate that's very important.
It's got staying power. If you're going to be flipping the name 30 days from now or 45, 60 days from now, because you're going to get tired of it, you're going to get bored, and you're not going to be excited about promoting the brand, then you got the wrong name and you have the wrong brand. So redo it. Right. And I think that's what companies realize after a while is like, does the brand have staying power? Is it conveying what we want 5 years later, 10 years later? And if it's not, is it, to Brian's point, is it the messaging? You know, is it the vehicles we're using, the logo, the coloring, the designs, the advertising? Or is it actually, do we want to change the brand? And if you're going to change the brand, to me, that's a massive move.
Yeah. When you're in a unique situation, whether it's just fortunate or super smart, but I think you're... branding really does represent well your brand. Most companies have to build the brand and then come up with something that represents it. Like you almost have to buy the brand loyalty. I mean, think about the swoosh from Nike. That means nothing other than people think of Nike as you know, just do it. And it's for professional athletes. It's going to make me faster, blah, blah, blah. So when they see the swoosh, they think of that. Or the smile from Amazon. I mean, that means nothing. But Amazon built a brand for themselves that said quick, convenient, inexpensive, you know, easy returns, blah, blah, blah. So now when you see the smile, that's what you think of. That's what most companies have to go through. And it's brutal. It takes a lot of time, a lot of expense. It's you know, a lot of training, you know, for your employees and your partners to constantly live the brand. We're going through it. We'll share with the group here at CEO Bros. We're working with a partner to think through, you know, what is CEO Bros? And some of the questions are, why are you even doing this? Why are you personally doing this? And how is that going to help, you know, someone else? That goes into our concept of what the brand is, so that they can then help us do the branding and the communication of, hey, here's what CEO Bros is. Here's why you should watch. Here's how it's going to help. Here's what it's going to do for you. So it's an interesting process that every company has to go through, whether it's when you're starting the company or shortly after, or even in it 10 years and you're, you know, reevaluating. Hey, is this the right messaging for our brand? Is our brand still relevant? You know, the thing that got us into the business, does that still matter to people?
So how many young entrepreneurs start a business, get it going, and then maybe let's call it a year into it, go, you know what? I think we finally have our brand. Like, it's now clear to me, do they have to rethink their branding to reflect that?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we did, so Brad talked about By Your Side at VHT Studios. We went through rebranding several times. We were originally videohometours.com and kind of positioned as a techie marketing digital company. But as we grew, we realized people saw us more as a service company, which I didn't necessarily like, because you don't get as good of multiples from investors. You know, investors prefer tech, you know, platform companies as opposed to service companies. But that's how our customers saw us. And that's what they appreciated. That's what they thought was different about us than our competitors. So then we, you know, went through rebranding.
Wait, stop there for a second. Did you actually let that idea, what you just said, because now thinking through the lens of a CEO, you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to be viewed as a service company, which we're a service company, but right. I don't want to be viewed as a service company because that's not how the investor community, I want them to see us. I want them to see us as a technology company. How much did that shape you when the whole discussion around rebranding came up? Did you say, hey guys, I don't like this idea. I don't like this because we're going to sound more like a service company. Did that cross? Yeah. I mean, because it sounds like it crossed your mind enough to bring it up in this podcast.
It was an ongoing debate for the first 10, 12 years of the company. And where I finally settled with it was, to our end customer, we're a service company. We've got the best real estate photographers in the world. They're super creative. We've got all the tools and everything you need to accomplish your mission of, you know, marketing a property for sale, marketing yourself for sale, blah, blah, blah. And where I came to peace with it was, underneath, the thing that nobody sees is that we've got an amazing technology. You know, all of this is only possible because of our technology and because of our platform. And so when I would talk to investors, that would be the pitch. We have a technology that no one else has that enables us to be the best service provider in the world.
So you did combine them.
And we talked about licensing that platform to competitors, affiliates, franchisees. You know, that's why we started doing acquisitions. We were going to put companies that we acquired on our platform. But for the customer and the branding,
service.
It was service. It was, we're the best, most creative partner, marketing partner you'll ever find. But, and, it's, but that it, took a long time to get to that. That's why we switched to VHT Studios. Not as techie. Studios speaks to creative, you know, and our, you know, tagline was more like, you know, we're only successful if you're successful. We're in this with you. You know, we're in the same boat. Like, if the home doesn't sell, mm-hmm. even though you paid us for the photography, we know you're not going to use us next time. Or if you don't get more leads, you know, we're in it together. And that, to me, became our brand. How we communicated that changed from year to year, but it was always about we're your partner.
But I mean, look, Matt, what I would say is, in listening to him talk about that, is talk about not taking anything for granted
yeah.
with a brand
yeah.
or branding. Like, I just went, I rattled off, for me, what's important by your side. Now, he just told you, okay, we had our brand, or we had our way of branding. And then as we started talking through different ways of doing it, I was like, well, wait, hang on a second. We're a technology company. We're not, sorry. I mean, so I guess the takeaway for me in this, for people to, or for people to take from this, is that don't take it for granted. The name, the brand, make sure it's something that you want to stay with. Make sure it's something that really resonates with you, that you'd have a lot of pride and be proud to communicate today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now. Because if you're going to be flippantly changing, there's no way you're going to get any staying power with that. I firmly believe that, because sooner or later, people, you know, you want to be able to hear, oh yeah, like I always took pride in, I always heard that people would see the red and yellow logo. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. They'd see that. And they didn't have to say buyer side under it. They'd just be like, that's buyer side. I'm like, that's exactly what we wanted to get to. They see that, they know, and they know what that means.
They know what resonates. That means. Well, Duncan, that's the most important part.
Well, Duncan didn't change really the color. They just got rid of donuts.
Yeah, they kept the same font.
They spelled dunking wrong.
See, that was smart too of them.
Yeah.
Like, you can change the name of the company, but you keep everything about it. The colors, the fonts, the size, the whatever. I do think, you know, another under this heading, to me, like I said, it's very hard to do it with a logo. There's very few companies. I think you've got a great one, you know, Nike, Amazon, you know, FedEx. Tagline would be the next level below.
You would think America Runs on Dunkin' almost says we got to be a coffee shop. It's such a great,
could be an oil company, a gas company, yeah, but you're right. I think it's a good one. So I was going to quiz you guys.
Well then, screw you, man. All right. Well, so Brad, did you see that the Bears, that the schedules?
I set you up for that. Yeah, I told you it's a great tagline. And then I go, well, it could be anything.
Yeah, right. Hold on. You did set me up. You're like, it's a great tagline. Yeah, it is. Like, actually, it sucks. Oh,
I mean, as long as you know they sell coffee and donuts, it's like, that makes sense. Right. That's what I do before I go out for a 5-mile run. I just chug a coffee and eat a donut. So I got a quiz for you guys. I know Brad likes doing quizzes on some of my favorite taglines. Oh, I wasn't prepared
for a quiz, but I'll do my best.
We won't keep score. We'll just see if you guys.
Oh, no, we won't.
No.
So I've got some favorite taglines. So I'll put the tagline out and you guys name the company and I'll show you how powerful these are.
Okay.
I'll
click it around
for a while. Okay. We have to name the company with the tagline.
Who can name it first?
Just yell might as well.
No, just try to guess it. Of the three, how about me, you, and Amber?
I would be shocked if we don't know these.
Because you're probably going to know them. I mean, I'll give you an easy one to start. Okay. Just do it. It's a tagline.
Nice. Nike.
That's Nike. Okay. Happiest place on earth?
Disney World. Disney World or Disneyland?
It was originally Disneyland.
Okay. I said Disneyland and Anaheim.
I think it's for Disney now. So,
Amber, did you know that one?
Yeah, okay. That just took me a minute to realize
the process.
This one's not necessarily a tagline, but I think it serves the same purpose. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink
Heineken.
Budweiser.
Heineken.
Wow. No.
No, it's a Heineken. When it's I do, I drink. Heineken. No, it's not Modelo. It's
I'm not a beer
Modelo
drinker.
Wait, hold on.
When I drink beer, I drink
isn't that weird? Like,
I'm not a beer drinker. I drink Absolute Citron. For those of you out there that are vodka drinkers, wait, give me the Absolute Citron. Let's
skip that one. I'm going to come back.
It is a Mexican beer. I thought it was Modelo too.
No,
but it's not. So that's a problem with that tagline.
Dos Equis.
It is Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Brad is correct.
I see. Now I got to keep scoring.
Okay. Blank. There is no substitute.
Oh,
these are harder than I thought.
Yeah.
These are a little
cheese.
Old.
Brian? Cheese? Milk? There's milk. No, cheese. No.
This is a high-end brand.
It's a car. It's
a
Mercedes.
It's a sporty car.
Lexus.
Jaguar.
Substitute. Oh, no, Rolex.
No.
That's not a car.
But that's not a car. Brian calls on himself.
That's not a car.
Call. Yes, it's a car. Rolex?
No, no, because I actually thought
that's not a car. They'd probably be able to make a good car.
What is it?
Got a brand. That's Porsche.
Porsche. There is no substitute.
There is no substitute.
You're right.
I think that's from that movie.
Risky Business.
Risky Business.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Cruise. 1983.
Okay. And here's my favorite of all time. And I'll explain why. But if music's important in your life, eventually you'll own
Oh, come on. If that's a tagline, it's too long. That's their problem. Well, no. They're probably out of business.
This used to be in their commercials and everything, in their ads.
Slingerland drums.
Rode.
Right. No.
Oh, Rode.
Bose speakers. Bose speakers.
Oh, I
Bose was always the high end in stereo phonics and stuff.
I think that tagline is too long, and that's why it's
I
not
thought
memorable.
You picked that because were you using Rode mics?
So the reason it's powerful is it's aspirational. They know most people can't afford Bose. But if you fancy yourself as somebody who enjoys music, someday I'm going to upgrade to Bose.
Okay.
When I get that next promotion, when I get that next job or whatever. So they no compromise there. There's no Bose speakers on sale. There's no discounts. There's no, you know, Bose, you know, cheap version. It's we know we're expensive and we know you can't afford us. But
if you aspire for the best,
you aspire for the best.
You want Bose. Yeah. That's what I said. If you aspire for the best,
that would be
you
good
want
too,
both. Right. That's what their tagline should be. It'd be much more memorable. Thank you.
Right. Well, Brad's not going to get this one since he just told me what
beer.
He drinks. But right. Life's too short to drink cheap beer.
Schlitz.
That is cheap beer.
I know exactly.
That's Warsteiner. That's another one that just is a... It occupies a place in your mind. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to drink cheap beer.
Sure, I'll give you a really good tagline. I'll give you a really good tagline. We try harder.
Avis.
Thank you.
Avis, right. Yeah. There
instantly, you Avis. Yeah. And they adopt the principle of Hertz is so much bigger than us that we're not even going to try and become.
I thought their tagline was, we're second. Why try harder?
Try harder. No, because we're second, we try harder.
Right.
And that's such a great tagline because they probably came to a conclusion like we'll never be doing the amount of revenue these guys do. They're so big. They're in their own. You know, we talk about like Joe Rogan and podcasts, like when Matt, his podcast isn't even in the podcast world.
Yeah, this is a great example of companies that really need to adopt. I mean, what are the rental car companies doing in the face of Uber? And what are they going to do when autonomous cars are out? When Waymo is everywhere, who needs to rent a car anymore? So what do these companies do? How do they pivot? How do they, what is their brand? Because if they built their brand around we rent cars, okay, people may not need to rent cars anymore. But if you built your brand around we are a transportation company or we make transportation more convenient or.
So put on your CEO hat.
Count on us for transportation.
Count on us, yeah.
Okay.
Am I coming up with some
tagline? You are actually. Yeah. All right.
Five words are under by
calling.
I don't come up with taglines that this long and say I'm worse.
I didn't come up with that tagline. I just appreciated it. It meant something to me at the time of my
Brian's
life.
Brian's like, that's Uncle Bob ukulele. He's like, Brian, I don't even know who that is. How the hell did you come up with that one?
Uncle Bob. So put on your CEO hats for the entrepreneur. So that question you just talked about, as CEOs of any car company, rental car company, when do you start having that conversation of what's next and when do you start implementing what's next? Because, and I know, Brad, we mentioned this earlier, you don't remember, but Netflix, they announced they were no longer going to send out mailed CDs back in the day and their stock plummeted.
DVDs.
Because streaming wasn't really a thing. And the CEO said, I may be early on this, but streaming is a thing. And they're like, well, goodbye Netflix. And now it's a giant. He was maybe argue is too early. He could have held on to that mailing business a little longer. When do you start having those conversations?
You got to have ahead of time. And he was a genius. And I got to thank him because I made a lot of money on Netflix stock. I bought in heavy when it crashed because his plan all along was to go to streaming. He had said from the very beginning the DVDs were just to get me to there. I don't know when it's going to happen, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but this will bridge the gap. This will get me there. And, you know, stupid Blockbuster and West Coast Video, who I worked for, they had no idea. They didn't see it coming at all. So I think, you know, when you talk about the rental car companies, they better be talking about it right now. I mean, Waymo's operating in Phoenix and Texas and California. That thing's going to move like this.
I think to answer your question, to second Brian's point, the earlier you can start talking about something, to plant the seed is when I would do it is if I'm the CEO of a rental car company, I would talk to my leadership team and talk about doing it in stages. Say, okay, we have to plant the initial seed. Then there's going to be there's another step beyond that. Cause you gotta get people warmed up to the concept of, you know, people don't want shock and awe. Some people do. But most people want like an adoption kind of cycle, a transition so that they can fully embrace it, understand it, be able to think about it, digest, process it. So if I knew that that was the way of the future, which it sure looks like we're going that way with autonomous cars, I would begin planting the seed now.
Including the rebranding and what that tagline is going to be. Well, we got the tagline. Brad came up with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, I would start circling with my team now and say, we're going to cross this bridge at this time. So what are the steps?
How do we start positioning ourselves? Yeah. What are the logistics? Start positioning to now?
That's a great question, because you do have to think about those things. You know, there's always a discussion around where the CEOs spend their time. Is it, you know, is it more strategic? Is it more tactical? That's strategic. I mean, that's where most of your time should be spent as a CEO, is strategic. And strategic is, how do we address that point that's going to hit us in 3 years from now? And when do we start communicating, and what do we communicate, and what's our plan? So yeah, the sooner you can do it reliably is when you should start.
Do you think it's under thought out that a CEO or an entrepreneur is going to start a business? Do they also have to be thinking, wait, the business I'm starting in 10 years, what's my business going to look like? Because if I'm successful, I'm going to have to change it drastically. Or do they probably, many entrepreneurs look at the moment and go, I want this product, not realizing in 10 years it could be obsolete.
I want to answer that, because that's actually interesting. I was going to start a small business around, you guys know those trains you can ride in the malls.
You talked about this once.
And I actually went and did and pulled a lot of data on that, like how many people were getting on the trains, what they were charging, how many, what were the ages of the kids. I sat at a mall. Several days, and I had friends of mine that did it too, and we captured a lot of data. And one of the reasons why I didn't proceed with it, the financials were actually great on it. The data was really good on it. What I couldn't get over was the fact that I knew that malls were going to be gone.
No.
And I said, these malls aren't going to exist in years from now. And this was right. And this isn't like recent. This was years ago, but I could see online shopping taking over. And I said, people are going to be online shopping and people aren't going to be walking. I was talking about malls going away years ago. And I was like, I'm not going to have a business in a mall. That's not going to exist. And that's why I could never get over it. Cause you had to make the capital investment, get the trains. You had to hire the personnel. There was a capital investment up front. And I said, great idea. Financially, this makes sense, but you know, what's the longevity of this thing?
Yeah.
So 10 years, 12 years, probably not. I was looking 2-3 years out and saying, this isn't going to be sustainable. So it's actually ironic you brought that up, because that was one business idea that I have in the file cabinet of business ideas that I had great financials on it. And I just said, I don't feel comfortable starting.
Interesting. I knew the idea. I didn't know the outcome of that or why you didn't pursue it.
Yeah. And we're going to do an episode here in a couple of weeks on AI. I think any business you're starting right now, you have to consider the impacts of AI in a year or two, because it's moving so fast.
We should also talk about crypto too. I would think we should get into crypto about
blockchain, stable coin, and crypto are going to change things. There's probably more things on the horizon right now that could impact a new business than there's ever been before. You know, I mean, there's always wars and the economy and politics and stuff like that. But from a technology standpoint, you know, good
luck. So you are going to need a guide to help you through everything that's coming your way. And the way to do it is to subscribe.
And beyond that guide, Matt, you need this.
And you need this. You need Citron.
What's our tagline?
Our tagline is, well, after.
Put them on the spot. That would be a great way to finish.
That's a good topic about branding. I appreciate you bringing it up. And, you know, to next time, I think that there's, you know, takeaway is, you know, make it important. Take the time to think it through. Don't take it for granted, because your brand and your branding will go with you for years, and something that I would think it's critically important and should never be overlooked. So I'm glad you brought that up. Good stuff, guys.
I'm trying to think of a clever tag.
And to our good friends at Solo Cup. You like them. All right, guys. Good night. Cheers.
To help us spread the word, please share this podcast, subscribe, and hit that like button. Looking for the video version of our podcast? Simply use the Spotify video feature or visit our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@CEO Bros. We're always looking to connect with our audience, so please send us your questions, comments, or topic ideas by email to suggestions@CEOBros.com or connect with us through Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, or X. Simply search CEO Bros. That's CEOBROS. Thanks for listening. Until next time.